President Vladimir Putin declared independence of two separate regions of eastern Ukraine, and then he ordered peacekeeping troops to cross the border. Retired U.S. General Jack Keane summed it up best on Fox News.
Because he wants Ukraine to look to Russia and not to the West. But really, when it gets down to what he is talking about here, is that Ukraine never should have been separated from the Soviet Union. It is a part of Russia, and I'm taking back the land that is rightfully ours. That is what this is about.
Meanwhile, the UN Security Council had an emergency meeting last night. The U.S. has moved to impose sanctions as world leaders are denouncing Putin's move as a violation of international law. Recently, the bishops of the Ukrainian Catholic Church in the United States issued a statement requesting prayers as the potential of increased conflict in Ukraine comes to a head. Joining us now from Paris, France, is Archbishop Boris Kuciak, Metropolitan Archbishop of Philadelphia of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, for much more perspective on this very grave crisis in Ukraine and the many prayers for peace that are coming from around the world. Good morning, Your Excellency, Archbishop Kuciak. It's a blessing to be with you. Thank you for joining us from Paris this morning.
Yeah, man, the road is good to be with you, and thanks for bringing this story to people of faith.
Absolutely. Excellency, we have been praying here at Relevant Radio, united to the Holy Father last month when he called for that day of prayer. We've been praying every day for peace in the Ukraine, invoking the Mother of God, the Theotokos, our Blessed Mother, to somehow bring peace to this very combustible situation. What's your reaction to the events of yesterday with Russian President Putin recognizing the independence of the Ukraine breakaway regions of the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics and signing those treaties? What is your thoughts on this move by Putin?
Well, it's very sad. It's very aggressive. It's very cynical. Putin first occupied these areas by leading, you know, a separatist movement and calling it something, you know, independent. And then he recognized the independence. So he kind of made a footprint and then, you know, said, this is going to be something under my control. And the fear is, of course, that he wants to do that with the whole country of Ukraine. And he basically, his statement was a ridiculous distortion of history and a negation of the, you know, human dignity of Ukrainians, basically saying you didn't exist, you don't exist, you're not going to exist, and we're going to use force to subdue you.
Absolutely. Excellency, it appears that Putin wants Ukraine back, the whole of Ukraine. He seems to be trying to reconstruct the old days, the old Soviet Union, and again, not recognizing the sovereignty of Ukraine as a nation.
Well, yeah, he's quite explicit about it. And this is, you know, kind of the world is waking up to it, but he's been clear about his desires and intentions for, you know, over 15 years. He declared in the 2000s that the greatest debacle, greatest catastrophe, geopolitical catastrophe of the 20th century was the falling apart of the Soviet Union, which was kind of a prison of nations, and it was a country that repressed the faith, including that of the Orthodox Church, but the Catholics were particularly targeted. And today, even though there's 500,000 Ukrainian Catholics in Russia, they have no legal parishes. He is a product of the KGB system, and to join that system, you basically had to make a Faustian deal to do whatever you were told to do, which meant, you know, cheating, lying, maybe killing. And unfortunately, that school is something that he is not only part of, but he defends. He wants it to come back. He does not believe in democracy, democracy and freedom of the press, freedom of religion. cast a light into dark places. And Ukraine has been a democracy for 30 years. It's had elections. It's got a vibrant civic society, NGOs, many, you know, religious confessions. The president is Jewish. There's a patriotic Muslim population, the Crimean Tatars, who are being now persecuted and annexed Crimea, and they're fervent Ukrainian patriots. And this is what Putin wants to snuff out on the border of Russia, because freedom is a source of fear for tyrants.
Your Excellency, we so much appreciate you being with us. We need to take a short time out, a short break, but we'd like to continue to talk about this situation and especially talk about the people of Ukraine and what they're facing with, 150,000 Russian troops on the border. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll continue our conversation with His Excellency Archbishop Boris Gutsiak. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air on the other side.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us this morning as we continue our conversation from Paris, France, with His Excellency Archbishop Boris Gutsiak, the Metropolitan Archbishop of Philadelphia of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church. We're talking about the grave situation that's going on in Ukraine, in his homeland. Your Excellency, welcome back.
Thank you, John.
I want to talk specifically about the people of Ukraine that have been suffering for so many years now, over 14,000 deaths since 2014, and the current situation with these 150,000 Russian troops on the border. Can you give us your perspective of what the Ukrainian people are going through?
Well, John, of course, this has become a global story in the last weeks. But it has been the life story of Ukraine for 8 years now, since 2014. And just imagine that there have been already more than 2 million refugees from this war. About 1.5 million of them are refugees in Ukraine, and others have gone to other countries. And that's only because three regions, Crimea, part of Donetsk, and part of Luhansk regions, were occupied. Now imagine if that 150,000 military force that is like a horseshoe around the north, east, and south of Ukraine, if that constricts and, let's say, occupies five more of the 25 regions, you could have 2 or 3 million more, maybe 4 million refugees pouring into Poland, Romania, Slovakia, creating really great disturbance socially, economically. And the only reason is because there is an ambition for empire. And this is something that the world is coming to see and know. But Ukrainians have been enduring this for the last 8 years. Of course, they had 300 years of Russian occupation over certain parts of the country. And the sad story for Ukrainian Catholics is that every time Russia takes over some part of Ukraine where the Ukrainian Catholic Church exists, sooner or later, whether it's within a month or a year or 10 years or 20, the Ukrainian Catholic Church is simply obliterated. And, this will be the case for the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, which also endured great persecution, and for other people of goodwill who want to express their spiritual lives, their culture, use their language. It's really devastating. But what I must say is that people are reacting very courageously. There's kind of a stoic attitude. In Washington, D.C., if you get an inch of snow, there's a run on toilet paper. There's no panic in Ukraine. even after what happened yesterday, you know, there's not a run on the banks. There's not a kind of an attitude that, you know, this is the end of the world. People have had adversity historically. They've endured the war for 8 years, and they're going to go forward. And especially people of faith who say, no matter what happens, no matter if we're occupied, we will not give up our faith. There was a witness of a bishop that spent Christmas on the front just as these Russian forces were, you know, lining up around the border. And he told me, you know, a Protestant pastor who was serving in a battalion called me over and said, come to this battalion because the people want to hear confession. And there's no Orthodox priest or bishop here. I, as a Protestant, can hear confession, but I want to help you help these people. So people of, you know, different confessional backgrounds are coming together. Those who are people of faith are coming together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Others are doing it just out of simple human solidarity. And I'm really impressed by that. I was just there in Ukraine for 2 weeks. And I'm impressed by the courage and the resiliency of the population.
We're joined this morning from Paris, France, by Archbishop Boris Gutsianak, the Metropolitan Archbishop of Philadelphia of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church. Excellency, you, along with other Ukrainian bishops in the U.S., are requesting prayers. Can you talk about the need for prayer, for peace, for a conversion of hearts in this very difficult time for your homeland?
Well, dear John and dear listeners, Ukrainians maybe better than anybody can testify to the power of grace in their history. The Ukrainian Catholic Church was declared illegal in 1946. And over 45 years, it was brutally persecuted. All bishops, most priests were arrested, sent to Siberia. Some were shot. Some are already beatified martyrs. Beatified by St. John Paul II in 2001. And it looked like in the mid-80s that this church would be snuffed out. Only 300 out of 3,000 priests remained. Only 1% of the pre-World War II population could be served by these priests in the catacombs. And now we've got 3,000 priests again. And we've got 800 seminarians for 4.5 million faithful. Grace works. The witness of martyrs is powerful. The Lord leads his people from the land of slavery, the land of captivity, to the promised land. So prayer is very important. It's also very important to do what you're doing, John, to inform people so that they understand what is at stake and how unjust this situation is. And then, of course, the third thing that our bishops in the United States are encouraging people is to help. There is already a humanitarian crisis, and it's only going to get worse because it's clear that this invasion is going to progress. And Putin basically announced that yesterday in his hour-long speech. We're very grateful to the solidarity of the Holy Father. I was just in Rome and I met with him on Friday. The solidarity of the global Catholic community and of all people of goodwill.
Your Excellency, can you lead us in prayer? Let's unite our hearts and ask the Mother of God to pray for peace in Ukraine.
We ask you, O Blessed Mother, who ordained the creator of the world, who blesses us with his right hand and gives us the dignity of children of God. Cover Ukraine and the world with your mantle. Convert the hearts of those who wage war and work violence, and give hope to your poor and persecuted, your orphans, your widows, all those who put their faith your son. May the blessing of your son descend upon all of us, that of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being with us, Your Excellency Archbishop Guziak. I really appreciate it. Many blessings to you and to your people.
I thank you for giving the news with prayer and praying with the news.
Thank you, Excellency. Archbishop Boris Guziak, the Metropolitan Archbishop of Philadelphia of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church.